Please be seated. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We say those words a lot, a whole lot. We will say them today. Many of us say them every day as part of our daily prayers. We say it, but are we really ready and willing to forgive others in equal measure to how we've been forgiven by God? In the 1950s, 6-year-old Ruby Bridges integrated an all-white school by herself, walking there every day with 2 federal escorts in front of her and 2 more behind her, while around her, an angry crowd of white adults heaped abuses on this little girl. Child psychiatrist Robert Coles was watching, and he noticed that her lips were moving as she walked, and later, in an interview, asked her what she was saying. She said she was praying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Her parents hoped, by giving her this little prayer, that she could shield her mind and her heart and walk unscathed through her daily hell. Nelson Mandela, after 27 years in a South African prison, said, "Forgiveness liberates the soul. It removes fear. That's why it is such a powerful weapon." When asked about his jailers, he responded that forgiving them was a choice to set himself free. He could leave those guards there in the prison instead of always remembering them by nursing resentment. On October 2, 2006, Charles Roberts walked into an Amish schoolhouse armed with 3 guns. There were 26 students in the schoolhouse. He allowed the 15 boys, a pregnant female student, and 3 other adult females with infant children to leave safely. But he held the remaining 15 girls captive and tied their feet together. His deranged rationale for his actions was that he wanted to exact revenge for something that had happened in the past. Notes that he left indicate that he was mad at God for the death of his newborn daughter some 9 years earlier. Authorities were alerted and soon arrived on the scene, and not long after police arrived, Roberts started shooting, killing 3 children and himself. 2 more children died later from their injuries. And in the face of such a tragedy, one can only imagine the hurt and the anger that the loved ones of the victims might feel. But in an extraordinary demonstration of forgiveness, members of this Amish community, including family members of the deceased victims, attended Robert's funeral, comforted his widow. And the Amish community did not stop there. They also offered financial support to Robert's widow. I can't imagine. Many of us remember the attempted assassination of Pope John Paul II on October 21st, 1981. Ali Akka shot the Pope in St. Peter's Square. The Pope publicly forgave Akka just a few days after the shooting, but the poignant meeting some 2 years later of the Pope and Akka in a jail cell, where the Pope offered his forgiveness face to face and the 2 prayed together, is what most of us remember. What was not known until just a few years ago was that the Pope actually forgave Akka in the ambulance on the way to the hospital that day in St. Peter's Square. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgiveness in the radical form that Jesus taught it is an intensely foreign concept to the way that most of us, all of us, live our lives. In fact, our failure to forgive as we have been forgiven, I think, is one of the most significant impediments to our understanding and accepting of God's grace. Because forgiveness is hard. In a world where keeping score is so important, for a victim to forgive a perpetrator is simply illogical. But that radical form of forgiveness that Jesus taught is what the gospel lesson's all about. Peter's problem in the gospel lesson, our problem for that matter, is that we tend to calculate sin and forgiveness on a human scale of human values and human justice, while Jesus has the nerve to insert God's values, God's justice and mercy into the equation. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Just like Peter, everyone here wants to do the right thing. But it's hard. It's hard to take the same thing over and over again, especially from the same person. How often are we to forgive someone who persists in hurting us, letting us down, insulting us? All of us over and over again ask the question that Peter asked. How much are we expected to take? How many second chances are we supposed to give people? Every single one of us has our limits. And, like Peter, we prefer to think of ourselves as the ones who are doing the forgiving in this gospel lesson. And we like to give ourselves credit for being kind and merciful when we forgive. But the gospel's not going to allow that. We pray first to be forgiven, and because we've been forgiven so radically, we are to forgive others for the little things they've done to us. But let's get real. How in the world do we forgive so freely, especially for those who don't really deserve it? I don't know. I don't have the answer. Only you can determine that for yourself. But I think perhaps one of the keys to forgiveness is where we begin. Many think that forgiveness is an event, a one-time thing, that we ought to be able to forgive everyone in a single minute and be done with it. But here's the deal. Maybe God can forgive in the twinkling of an eye, but you ain't God. Maybe when forgiving, we mortals need a little time. Especially if the hurt is so deep and wrong, and the wrong was so bad. Maybe we humans need to be patient with ourselves. Maybe we need to understand forgiveness more as a process, beginning with remembering how much mercy God has already shown to each of us. Maybe if we can allow ourselves the incredible wonder of God's grace and forgiveness to fill our hearts and to fill our minds and truly recognize the incredible mercy God has already poured out on each of us, then maybe we can in turn be able to forgive others as often as need be. Maybe that perspective can make the process of forgiving a little more possible. Maybe we just need to let ourselves become more self-centered when it comes to forgiveness, because forgiving is the greatest power that we have for our own good. Medical research points to the reality that unforgiving people are much more susceptible to all kinds of illnesses than forgiving people are. Pent-up anger and hurt can be debilitating, and we all know it. Forgiving is separate from loving the person who has wronged you. It's separate from even liking that person. It's separate from trusting that person. And it sure is separate from forgetting about what that person did. Forgiving instead is freedom. Freedom that releases us from the burden of the pain that we carry with us. And maybe forgiving is as simple as saying the words, John, I forgive you. Mary, I forgive you. You insert the name, whatever name you want to use. You don't even have to say it to the person you're forgiving. Just wake up tomorrow morning and say, I forgive you. Say it aloud or in the silence of your heart. And then say those same words the next morning. And the next morning. And the next morning. How many mornings? I don't know. 7? 77? But say them as baby steps towards something greater. The person who wronged you is still going to be a jerk, but you will become free. Say the words until forgiveness becomes a habit, rooted far deeper inside of us than liking them or trusting them or forgetting about what they did. Say them until forgiveness becomes about loving God and ourselves and not about loving the offender. Say them until forgiveness becomes so ingrained and deep to the bone that it's no longer a conscious decision, but more like a reflex. Say them until forgiveness becomes as natural as breathing. Not a sign of weakness on your part, but rather the natural outpouring of a once broken heart that now has been healed. How many times? I don't know. 7 times? 77 times? That's up to you. Maybe just say them until you realize all of a sudden you're no longer counting. God love you. Amen.